Good morning, everyone. So as Norm just said, so by now you've heard about moving to a more focused approach through strategic mission investment and what this means about increased need for program data and information flow. So now I'm going to drill down one step further into ensuring our strategic approach and talk about creating a centralized database for tracking program outcomes. So I have no relationships to disclose. And these are the learning objectives for this presentation. So we're going to talk about the development of the database management system for centering pregnancy. And understand how this is a system that's an effective grants management tool and learn how it's improved data quality and timely reporting. So just some quick background on centering pregnancy, or CP. Hopefully a lot of you know this already, but CP is an evidence-based group prenatal care model that improves birth outcomes. And CP is one way to target the disproportionate burden of preterm birth among certain demographics, including Hispanics and African Americans. So March of Dimes has given a lot of support to CP groups across the country since 2005. And in fact, this totals over $11 million over the last 10 years. And in 2015, we continue to invest, and we foresee investing over $1 million in CP this year. So the March of Dimes investment in CP is targeted at the scale and spread of an evidence-based program shown to reduce preterm birth, enabling chapters to reach the strategic mission investment goal of prematurity reduction. So because of this, the purpose for our data collection is different from that of the Centering Healthcare Institute or independent site data collection. CP is already evidence-based. We don't need to show that it's effective in reducing the preterm birth rate. That's already been proven. So we are collecting for a grants management purpose. So to evaluate our investment, to demonstrate our impact, to manage grants more effectively, and to allow reporting to external funders. So our evaluation plan at the March of Dimes really drives the what and why of the data that we collect. So from the March of Dimes chapter investment perspective, we'd like to know, has the chapter reached the number of women anticipated through its CP grants? Are we reaching the target demographics? What are areas for increased collaboration between March of Dimes and sites? And from a grants management perspective, we want to look at, is each site meeting an enrollment goal established in the grant proposal, and have the sites enrolled women from the grant's intended target population? So back in 2012, the initial scale of our data collection was much more limited. We needed to report on a subset of March of Dimes CP grantees to an external funder at the time, the WellPoint Foundation. And we had a paper-based data collection system. So the Perinatal Data Center performed data entry and quality checks, and our chapter program group had to manually track forms and receive data via email. So as you might expect, this was quite a cumbersome process to track and collate data and to report back out. It was difficult to track missing sites, groups, and fields. However, it did afford us the chance to understand problem areas with data collection before expanding the collection requirements to more sites. So this cumbersome paper-based data collection was manageable with a subset of CP grantees, but we had a need for expanded capabilities to report on all March of Dimes funded CP grantees. So just to give you an idea, currently this number totals 90 sites that we have registered for our online system currently. So in order to fulfill this need, we required more streamlined and efficient processes, and so we wanted to transition to an online-based system. And so the considerations for implementing this new online system were fairly substantial. This meant new expectations for all March and IMS funded sites regarding data collection, data entry, and data quality review. And it also meant a substantial amount of upfront development time for a national office staff, as well as procedural changes to the management of grants. And so this really meant quite a bit of training was needed for both ourselves to understand the system requirements, as well as chapter staff and the sites. So why move to an online system? Well, I think we all can understand there's several advantages to that. The new built-in functionality eases the data entry burden with dynamic question branching and automatic totaling. And it allows for improved tracking of missing data as well as improved data quality. And the streamlined processes, most importantly, can improve timeliness of reporting both internally and externally to the funders. So what data are we talking about in this online system? Well, equally important are the administrative data, which is housed in a separate module from the CP group level data, which the site data enters into. And really, both of these pieces comprise the data needed for CP grants management. So the administrative data contains items such as site contact information and grant target objectives that are obtained from a survey that the site returns. And this includes information on the number of high-risk groups, the number of women the sites expect to enroll, and when they expect to start enrolling, as well as the grant's intended target population. And really, all of these pieces are really important to collect to check the actual impact from the data against the intended target impact that we would be collecting in this administrative data. So the CP group data collection contains aggregate information about each group. The individual level data is collected at the site and aggregated there, so that we only receive the group level data. And this includes descriptive information about the group's sessions and attendance, background information about the group, including demographics and health insurance, as well as birth outcomes, such as the number of live births and gestational age. So here's just a screenshot of what our system looks like. We're utilizing the online system software called REDCap. And here's one of the forms that the site data enters into. I know it's a little hard to see here with this screen, but it's fairly intuitive. There's a calendar drop-down option, and in some fields, radio buttons for the site to choose from. But really, I want to emphasize that this new system really is a comprehensive database management system that we've designed. It's not simply a database for data entry. As I've indicated previously, the collection contains dynamic question branching and on-screen totals for the sites to check against, as well as customized data quality checks that really help with data entry as the site is data entering into. So that's important because they're getting these checks as the data is fresh in their mind, and they can make corrections right at the time that they're entering. This new system also offers real-time reports and downloads, so that's really advantageous, so that any given time, national office staff can export the raw data and see the status of sites and groups in real time, which this was definitely not possible before in the paper-based collection system. It's also comprehensive in that it houses two separate modules that I mentioned before, this internal administrative module as well as a group level data module. So to date, our initial experience with launching this online system has overall been very positive. It definitely has been an intensive effort to design, implement, and train staff. And so it really took over 6 months from initial conception to implementation, which we're in the middle of now, and we're still continuing to roll out to more sites. However, the upfront work that we put into this is really definitely paying off. We're seeing much improved data quality, which with fewer inconsistencies and less missing data. And importantly, we have an increased capacity to manage data for a greater number of grantees. And so these new streamlined, more efficient processes have really meant a shift in time investment for the national office staff. So instead of spending a lot of time with data entry and tracking and forms, we are beginning to spend more of it actually examining the data and looking for opportunities for increased reach. And we have certainly improved timely reporting while expanding to many more sites. So the report time that we've been able to generate the reports has been nearly cut in half, which is pretty impressive. So speaking of our timely reporting, at the end of each quarter, the Perinatal Data Center provides aggregate reports on three levels for individual site chapters and a national aggregate report. And we produce these each quarter, and they are disseminated to all levels of staff, so site, chapter, and national office staff. So these quarterly reports contain information on total enrollment and women reached, missing data, the CP group characteristics, attendance, demographics, and birth outcomes. So here you can see these are some of the results from our Q2 2015 report. So more than 2,700 women were reached across 17 states in Q1 and Q2, and the missing data ranged from 23% on maternal education to only 1.9% on session attendance. So this is really good to know. Just in one quick screenshot, you can see that, you know, we have a somewhat of a problem with missing data on maternal education. So that's important for us to understand what's going on and to drill down further into why that's happening. you can see the women served were 31% Hispanic, almost 20% non-Hispanic Black, and 45% non-Hispanic White. And almost 90% of women had prenatal care coverage, and over half of this was from Medicaid coverage. So I'm not going to go through all the results that you can see here, and this is really just a subset of what we provide, but you can see that this is a lot of information with a lot of utility on a pretty timely basis to be able to get this snapshot and be able to, you know, proactively act on it. So I think the most important thing for everyone to take away from this is that March and IMES provides value added on all levels for grant management. So with the quarterly reporting, sites and chapters are able to see their reach and impact, which we can then examine on a national level. And this really does enable proactive implementation. So sites don't have to wait until mid-year or the end of the year to see the impact and potential areas for improvement. And it also enables chapters to be able to view the impact across states and determine sites that are performing well or sites that have areas for improvement against their target objectives. So, and nationally, we can assess our collective impact. So here's just one example of our value added to the grants management process. These analyses were just presented at CityMatch in September, and they will also be presented at a poster session at the upcoming March 9th Prematurity Prevention Conference. And the analyses were really much more involved than this, but our main finding indicates that among March 9th funded CP sites serving predominantly African-American women enrolled later and attended fewer sessions as compared to sites serving predominantly Hispanic or predominantly white women. So this is really an important finding about our actual reach versus our intended reach, and is really one example of how we can manage grants more effectively in terms of understanding what the reach is. So I'd just like to end by acknowledging that there really has been a ton of work that is going into developing and implementing this online system, and it's really been a cross-functional team effort, and this list here doesn't even comprise everyone that was involved. But I'd really like to thank March of Dimes chapter staff and the CP site staff for embracing this new system and helping to ensure its success.
So you've heard a lot about what we have done in terms of shifting to strategic mission investment, a better grant management system, building a system of EPIC around an internal process of how to help chapters plan and gather that information, and then building an online platform to really drill down into birth outcomes and into data around our grants, our largest grant category, which is investment in centering pregnancy. So just to kind of bring it all full circle, we needed to be able to look at our program impact better. We needed to be more focused. We needed to focus on a single priority. We needed to focus on evidence-based interventions. And we needed to standardize our process and look at our data, use our data to tell us where we needed to be driving towards. And then we needed to build the systems around that would help us to gather the information, to plan effectively, and to be able to show our outcomes. So that's sort of a very quick look at what the March of Dimes has been doing, moving from traditional planning and grant giving to strategic mission investment. And we'd be happy to answer any questions anybody may have. Yes?
A couple of things occur to me. One is that what you've done makes perfect sense. But did you go without the bumps in the road? I mean, I think. Talk about that. Especially shifting the focus in of a national organization from many things down to a few things. Mm-hmm. Somebody was disappointed, someplace along the line. And then second, I wonder if you have heard many requests from either chapters or below the chapter level for how do I pull data out of my system and put it in this other system because I just got a grant from somebody else to do the same thing, but I don't want to enter all of this data twice.
Right. Yep. Very good question. So the first question was, did we have any bumps in the road along the way, and did we upset people with paring down our activities? So of course there's lots of bumps in the road as you move change is hard for people, and I think it's about being open and honest about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and involving our chapter staff and our regional staff. So we had focus groups and we had calls and discussions, and we shared everything every step of the way and got a lot of feedback so that people felt that they owned the system. It wasn't that it was a top-down system. It was really bottom-up, as Tracy was mentioning, and bringing everybody into that process. And I think March of Dimes didn't change our focus. Our mission has always been birth defects, preterm birth, and infant mortality. But we're just honing in more on saying, okay, infant mortality could be safe sleep, but there's people in that safe sleep space that are really good at that. And we should be focusing on prematurity as a leading cause of infant mortality and focusing there rather than getting into the safe sleep spot or some other. So really figuring out what are we good at, bringing our resources to bear on that, and then bringing all those other people who are really good at other things into the fold with us so that we're all driving in the right direction. Does anybody have anything you want to add, Norm?
Well, I think it's been a lot bumpier.
Norm,
honestly.
You got to come to the recording. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it could have been bumpier, but it, Kelly is right that we were, what we were trying to do was to make a clearer focus on our mission and how our mission needs to be implemented in a across a large geography. So at its essence, who can really argue with that, you know? and yes, there were people who were disappointed because there were projects that, you know, don't get the focus that they used to. But as Kelly said, we need to focus on a certain area and let other people own other parts of it. So.
And as a person who, in my role, was really on the front lines, and I've been at those meetings and had those discussions of, here's the new way we want to do things, and making that shift, you know, there's a reason why it took Florida, and it was really more than 5 years. I mean, 2009 was kind of a watershed year, so we started from there, but they have really been working on this since, like, 2006. And we just had a conference call last week with their program services committee, and we are still having some of the same issues of people that, well, why can't we do these other things? And so I think, we did learn a lot. Hi, Sharetta. She's nodding her head because she's on that call, and she's now in charge of corralling all those people. I think it revealed people that maybe needed to move on to some other activities. And you know, let go of the past. And I think, like Norm said, when you can show, well, we're doing all these things, but we can't demonstrate the impact, that's really powerful. That's what made people really take notice. And now that we're starting to get some experience and some success, now people are starting to say, oh, okay, maybe this is the right way. But we're not all there yet. I mean, this varies wildly across all of our chapters where we are. And it's, I think, always going to be a temptation to start to creep into other things. I mean, that's always going to be a battle we're going to have to fight.
And your second question was around how do we interface with other management systems, or how do we, if we have grantees who say we're getting a grant from someone else, we're doing, you know, other activities, we don't want to double data entry. So I'll give you a very good example. We have Tanya Monroe is here from the Centering Healthcare Institute, who does centering pregnancy. So we are requiring our grantees to enter information into our online system because we are the grantor. So they have to give us information. However, we know that there's a wealth of information that they need to give to CHI for centering pregnancy. So we have been working since the inception with CHI to make sure that we're keeping that the opportunities for double data entry to be low. So we give very extensive quarterly reports back to our grantees. We make them report on a monthly basis to us. Initially, CHI had a much lower, they were doing a yearly, I think, right, Tanya? They were entering their data once a year. So they were able to take what they got from March of Dimes that was all rolled up into a nice package and put it into their data dashboard for CHI. So they didn't have to go and then enter all of that data. CHI is now working on developing their own online database. So we're interfacing with them. We're working with them. Our databases will never talk to each other because there's HIPAA compliance and there's other issues, I think, there. But with individual patient-level data, I'm looking at Tanya. She's. But I think that as we move forward, we're trying to streamline enough that whatever we're gathering will be able to enter into their system, or ultimately someday maybe their system will collect everything we need and we'll do it the reverse. So we are definitely conscious of the fact that there's a lot of demands on grantees. We saw that also you throw Strong Start into that, and you have people who have a whole nother level of data they have to enter. So we do try to work with our grantees to make sure that the burden is not too onerous on them. We want them to be out there doing the work, not spending time in their office entering data. Other questions? Yes.
Okay, so the question is about the custom software package and the demands of that, and perhaps the continuity as IT staff turnover. Yes, that is an issue. We have a portion of one person whose time is devoted to the maintenance of EPIC. That is absolutely an issue. I think that as part of our redesign process, and Marco has not been with us the whole time. Okay, it started with one person, gone to another person, and a couple of other iterations. But it also kind of forced him to understand more about the back end than he understood before. And so I think we're in better stead now. If he were to change his responsibilities, he would be able to orient someone to the inner workings of it. I mean, the platforms are commercial platforms, you know, ASP.NET. I don't understand these things because I'm not a programmer, but the interface is better understood now as part of that. And I was going to say something else about that as well. Oh, plus, we now, as in the program department, have a lot more control over not the programming, not the like the coding of it, but we design the questions. We can enter all of those things ourselves, and so there's much less that we have to go back to the IT people for than we did before, because that was one of the goals of our redesign, is that we need to have some flexibility in it, so that he didn't, because before he had to design all the questions and enter them himself, and now we can do that. I mean, you know, and just softwares have changed over time too that make it easier to administer those types of things.
And I would also say too that we built a level of trust with our IT people that we may not have had initially, and so they let us into the system, which they didn't before. So that really helps to give us the autonomy to change things around, because otherwise we were having to plan 6 months in advance of needing a simple page added so that they could build it into their work stream, and now we can just go in and do that ourselves, and we haven't broken anything yet, so they continue to let us do that. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Getting back to actually one of the last slides about how the system helped generate information that might be important down the road. In other words, there's a difference between Hispanic and African American participation, et cetera. Based on the knowledge I have about the evidence around generating, that's really important.
Right.
So this may be an unfair question, it may not be there yet, but what do you do about that? In other words, what is the march of that? You have this data now that you never had before about how programs are performing, your grantees. What's the strategic vision, if you will, or the operational plan about how you're going to follow up on that? Because that's where outcomes are really going to change, is when that's addressed. So I appreciate those comments on that.
Sure, that's a great question. So the question was, now that we have data like the centering pregnancy data that talks about the populations that we're serving, how are we going to use that data to really change the program or change how we're doing business to reach those populations? And I would say, especially this information about reaching the African American women and that they enroll later and attend fewer sessions, in the past we were gathering the data at the end of the year. So you're getting a grant report at the end of the year when you can't do anything about it. And we could look back and go, oh, that's too bad, but now we need to move on. Now we're getting this real-time data, essentially. We're giving it back to our chapters on a quarterly basis. We're giving it back to their site. And so we're able, right from the end of the first quarter, to say, okay, you told us you were going to reach 150 women, you've reached 20. What's going on? You told us you were reaching a Medicaid population, an African American population. What's happening if they're not reaching those? Or, hey, you're doing a great job, keep it up, you're on target. So we're able every 3 months to have a touch point with our grantee to say, something's going wrong here. Something, you're reaching women, you're reaching an African American population, but those women are only staying for 3 sessions. Is it your provider who's not doing the sessions properly? Is it that the women are coming in late into prenatal care, so now we need to figure out how do we get them into care earlier? Is it something about the sessions that they're not enjoying? And then we can work with CHI to figure out how do we work with that particular site to address those issues. But now that we have the data, we're able to feed that back and have those conversations with the grantees so that we're not finding out too late to do anything about it. Any other questions? These are great questions. So before I let you all go, just a reminder that the sign-in sheet is in the back, and then I also want to let you all know this evening the March of Dimes has the Agnes Higgins Award lecture and reception. We actually feed you, something that never happens at APHA. And it's honoring our 2015 recipient, Christine Olson, Dr. Christine Olson from Cornell University. She's a professor of community nutrition, and her work is on improving maternal nutrition in the digital age, opportunities and challenges. So that's happening tonight in the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place Ballroom from 6:30 to 8:30. So you're all invited to come and hear Dr. Olson speak about her work and then get to meet other people from the March of Dimes and carry on any conversations you'd like to have. So thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate it.